Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Today, we follow the order of Matins found on page 219 in Lutheran Service Book. The hymn is number 431, Not All the Blood of Beasts. The text is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. We now join the live service.
A reading from Hebrews, the 9th chapter. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This week is sometimes called Passion Week. A clear shift toward Calvary can be felt in the readings, but not in an especially overt way, as we might expect. We don't yet hear the blow-by-blow accounts of Christ's trial and crucifixion, but instead, in former times, this week was devoted in the daily readings to the plotting and the scheming against Jesus. The many daily texts came from John's Gospel to show three things: that the Pharisees and the chief priests were struggling to find a way to confront Jesus. By contrast, the Lord's own command over the situation was held at all times. And third, the fact that Christ was expecting and preparing for his own death, for the hour of which it could not be rushed by anyone. In the end, both of the week and of the Gospel of John, Christ offers a prayer for the benefit of his disciples. And then Jesus went with his disciples over the brook Kidron, and his hour did come. We should see that today's scripture from Hebrews is also another sort of passion account. It's not the story of opposition or betrayal or beatings. It's the reflection on what Christ's death accomplished for us and who we must believe that he is. He is the high priest. He is the mediator of the New Testament in his blood. Indeed, there's something at odds about calling this a passion at all, because Christ decidedly is not passive here. He's not suffering any blows, according to Hebrews, just as in a real sense, he was not passively being victimized in the Gospels. What did he say? No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. The cross is Christ's goal. It's not an accident. And thus in Hebrews, it is simply called his appearance, or maybe better, his arrival. But while we hear from John in the Gospel that Christ is glorified in the midst of his passion, and we must believe that despite the appearances, Hebrews, on the other hand, shows us a different arrival altogether. Christ's once and for all death is a once and for all arrival before the Father. By Christ's death, the atoning blood is shed, but behind the scenes, in eternity in the heavenly places, the true high priest has arrived with the blood of his new covenant, not merely to purify the flesh so that the priests could go and sanctify the temple on one single day. But no, to give us access to God's own presence and eternal inheritance, purifying our consciences and thus bringing us into His holy service. Christ is in action in His passion for our redemption. Faith must peer behind the curtain, not that hopelessly torn one in Jerusalem, but the veil that is not of this creation in God's eternal places. Christ has no need to purify Himself with this blood. He has no need ever to repeat His work as the priests did. He sprinkles more than just flesh. And with that blood that surpasses not only goats and bulls, but even every mortal human blood that might be shed. And thus I do not hesitate at all to say what St. Paul says in Acts to those people at Ephesus. This is God's blood by which our eternal ransom and redemption has been paid, has been secured, as Hebrews puts it. Now, all of this, no doubt, is what led our own Dr. David Kytraeus to coin the term Christ's high priestly prayer. That's the prayer that Jesus gives in John 17, the last words that we hear before the beginning of His passion. Now, if you read the text of that prayer and the context of John's gospel, you would hardly see any suggestion for that kind of title, except maybe that our Lord is interceding for His disciples and us as a priest would do, and that Jesus consecrates Himself and says, "Now, Father, I am coming to You." But what is clear is that our Lord's passion is happening entirely at His own doing, entirely at unity with the Father and His will. Christ fulfills His office. He goes forth as mediator. He lays down His life as a high priest. He puts away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He enters the holy place by means of His whole own divinely sufficient blood, all that our consciences may be pure, and indeed, as the prayer does say, that His word, His promises, His name would sanctify us in God's truth. Faith sees all of this at work in the passion of our Lord. Faith sees Christ at work to be merciful to us, even as He seems to be at the mercy of sinful men. Now, we find no fault with the hymn of Mr. Watts, which also dares to connect the priestly mediation of Christ with His crucifixion and find His sins taken away there also. Fine and good. We might only wish also to make certain that no one mistakes all of this high, heavenly, mystical vision of the Passion according to Hebrews as a sign that our Lord Christ has now become passive or distant, or that His blood has become metaphorical in any way at all. No, He is forever the mediator of the New Testament in His blood. He is the one who continues to sprinkle consciences and purify us to serve Him. So let us delight then that our mediator and our high priest also invites us, His New Testament priests, to eat of the most holy food. How indeed should He be remembered, and should His death be proclaimed? By eating His blessed sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.